In less than a half hour, the New York Mets return to the playoffs. Game one of the National League Wild Card Series against the Milwaukee Brewers, the team they opened the regular season against, the team they were scheduled to close the regular season against. It's Luis Severino and Freddie Peralta late on a Tuesday afternoon with very little time to enjoy the greatest regular season win in the history of the New York Mets. More on this series coming up, but first, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. I'm here to give you, as the playoffs are underway, the five most likely World Series matchups that we'll see at the end of the month.
Oh, good.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
How about Tigers-Phillies, the classic hot team here at the end that is winning today 3-0 versus the powerhouse that is the Philadelphia Phillies?
Yeah, and look, the Phillies are certainly, to me, despite not having the best record, the Dodgers do. I think the Phillies are the most talented team in the National League.
Yeah, I agree.
And the Tigers are the hottest team in the American League.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
Yankees-Padres. Padres hot towards the end of the year. 1998 vibes. I think very high on the likely list.
Oh, God, I hated that World Series.
It was a great World Series.
It was too easy for you guys.
Well, you know what? When you're the greatest team of all time.
I think of that World Series, I think of the one moment. I think of the 2-2 pitch to Tino that was clearly strike three. It was called a ball. Next pitch, grand slam, series over.
Yeah, I mean, keep clarifying about strikes and balls. Here we go.
Number three.
Yankees-Mets. A Subway Series that would be house money for Yankee fans. I like it.
I don't want to be house money for
what are you talking about?
Because the Met fan will never have that they've beaten us in a Subway Series. We've already done that, so it's all right if we lose that.
I don't think it works that way, bro.
It works that way for me. I'm a Yankee fan. I make the rules.
If the Mets ever beat the Yankees in a World Series, that's something you can't live down.
No, it's not, because we already beat you guys in 2000, so you can't say, well, remember we beat you. We said, well, we beat you guys too.
But that was 24 years ago, so for me, I remember it, and you remember it, and Tiki remembers it. There's a generation of fans, cool. Mets and Yankee fans. That's a history lesson to them.
Great. So the 24-year-old could have fun with that. Don't come at me with that smoke.
I think you're dead wrong about that. No. You can't lose a Subway Series to the Mets. You'll never live it down.
Listen, first of all, they wouldn't, but I would have no problem. Don't matter. We still have 2,000. Here we go.
Number two.
Yankees-Dodgers. I think even Ohtani's translator would gamble on the Yankees in that one.
Yankees-Dodgers, I think from a national appeal, would get the highest rating of any World Series that you could come up with.
Yep, and last but not least.
Number one.
The number one most likely World Series matchup, Yankees-Phillies, New York-Philly as it's meant to be. Can't wait to get there. Let's go. That's your Cinco de Fivo. Enjoy the baseball playoffs.
That'd be very tough to deal with. 2009, the Yankee-Philly World Series. Probably the toughest, one of the toughest World Series you could ever have.
Yeah.
I mean, having the city of Philadelphia and having the Yankees go at it, it was so bad.
We took care of them for you. Jason felt worthless.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I hope that's not the World Series. I think we're going to get an obscure one. Remember, last year we got a World Series between the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Both teams missed the playoffs. I'm going to rack my brain. I can't do it now because my head will start to hurt. When was the last time the two World Series participants missed the postseason the following year?
Yeah, it's hard.
Like, when does that happen? Like, 2016's the closest. The Mets made it, but only the wild card game, and the Royals missed it.
Yeah.
But 2013, like, the Red Sox didn't make it. Did the Cardinals make the playoffs in 2014?
They made the playoffs, felt like, every year.
No, I agree. This is where you look it up, Sean. Make yourself useful. Did the Cardinals make the
playoffs?
No, I'm sorry, Sean. You did such a great job yesterday with our audio watch party.
Yeah.
You had a lot of funny lines.
Thank you.
You were pissing me off a lot, but I think when I look back on it, I say, wow, you did a great job.
Yeah, and here's a fun nugget. Diamondbacks didn't make the playoffs this year, scored the most runs in baseball.
Yeah. By the way, the Cardinals did make the playoffs in 2014, so that one doesn't work. So now I'm in 2012. That was Detroit against San Francisco. Okay, did the Tigers make it in 2013?
All right.
That may be the answer.
While you looked that up, Tiki, we got 23 minutes till the Mets here. What do you think, pal?
The Tigers made it. I got to keep going. Come on, that's not interesting to people.
I think it's not. As you sit here and wonder, is Willie Adams hitting a homer in the first at bat?
Adames is his name. Adames. All right, let me throw this in.
Who cares?
Let me throw this at you, Tiki. Tell me if you think it's interesting. I'm not talking to these guys anymore because they're going to say it's stupid. You ready?
No, I'm waiting.
Wild card series. There's been eight of them.
Okay.
Eight wild card series. Seven of them have ended in sweeps, and five of them have been won by the road team. Five of eight of these series that are exclusively in one place have been won by the road team.
It's interesting.
Interesting, right?
Yeah, because it means that the regular season, call it dominance or whatever you want, doesn't matter.
Also, home field advantage doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I know they did this in the NFL, and they proved that it's not proved, but they kind of shown statistically that it's doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it gives you an advantage, especially if you're, like, we're at, for instance, the Giants are going out to Seattle. I forget what the stadium is called now. Used to be CenturyLink. But
Lumen?
Lumen, yes. It's Lumen Field now, or Lumen Stadium. It's loud as hell.
Yeah.
So you clearly have a home field advantage because you just can't hear when you're on the field. In the huddle, you can't hear. But I think it doesn't really affect percentage-wise the home team winning. So don't know if that necessarily translates to baseball as well, but I would think so because it's a game that is basically the same played wherever it's played.
Yeah, the only advantage you get is the last lick scenario.
Or not traveling.
Right, right. Yeah, the lack of travel. But I think in this case, what it reminds you of is that the Milwaukee Brewers may have won the National League Central very easily, right? They never were in a pennant race. They won 93 games. The Mets won 89 games. They're separated by 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really a lot? I mean, is it?
No, especially given how the Mets started.
Yeah, and given the way they've played over the last 6 months. I think what's going to help the Mets in this situation, what gives me a level of confidence, is that they played a playoff game yesterday afternoon.
So they're in playoff mode.
100%. You could call it a regular season game. It is, but it's a playoff game, much like in 1999. In 1999, the Mets had to play a literal one-game playoff, which also technically counts as a regular season game, against the Cincinnati Reds. They did it on no sleep. They flew to Cincinnati. They shut them out. It was not a dramatic game. Al Leiter was great. As soon as the game was over, they had to fly to Phoenix, Arizona, to take on Randy Johnson and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they beat them.
Yeah.
And they beat the Diamondbacks that night. And I think what you had was they just played a playoff game. They were hot. They were on fire. The Brewers have had to shut it down now for the last couple of weeks because it really hasn't meant anything. So this is, you know, maybe this is me trying to be hopeful or talk myself into the positivity that the positivity prophet Tommy Lugauer handed us for the last 3 months. But the Mets have been playing playoff baseball for a while now. They've had their backs to the wall for a while. This is new for Milwaukee. The Brewers played in this series 1 year ago. Exact same spot against an upstart Arizona Diamondback team, and they lost back-to-back games and they went home. Now, maybe that's a learning experience for Milwaukee. Maybe Freddy Peralta, who started game one a year ago, comes out with the ultimate revenge on his mind, not against the Mets, but the revenge of performing in this round better than they did a year ago, and the battle-tested young Brewer team, many of which were part of that team last year. Maybe that helps them. But I like the fact that the Mets played a big-time game yesterday.
Yeah.
And I love Mendy's lineup. Other than the one thing I disagree about, which is I would have had Torrens over Alvarez for the defense,
mm-hmm.
I think he put out the strongest possible lineup that goes Lindor, Iglesias, Nimmo, Vientos, Alonso, Winker, Marte, Tyrone Taylor, and Francisco Alvarez.
That's Vientos cleaning up. You like that? Him cleaning up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
I got to tell you, just watching the introductions right now, and they look loose.
The Mets?
Yeah.
Yeah, damn right.
They don't look stressed. Yesterday, I felt like they looked stressed. Today, they don't look stressed.
Well, it's possible that making the playoffs and just finishing the job, and it got shaky with that last road trip, maybe that is the relaxing moment they need now to go on a deep October run.
Right. The trip's not that far last night, so they had some beverages, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't leave the stadium until whenever. When did they leave? 8:20?
Yeah, so probably a little after that. Yeah.
Went straight to the airport, got on a plane, got a good night's sleep, because it's probably only a 2-hour flight, 2.5-hour flight.
Yeah,
like
nothing.
That. Nothing.
Easy.
Got in bed early, woke up late, had your run around, your walk through, batting practice. They look chill right
they
now.
They look chill. You know what? I hate that I'm doing this. And it's funny. Watch Lukey flip-flop like a little, you know what?
Go ahead.
He didn't like when I was optimistic about the Jets. Basically, I'm a schmuck. We are sitting here 20 minutes before first pitch.
How are you not optimistic?
I feel good. I feel good.
You should feel good.
I have a little optimism about this
game
today. I feel decent now. I may regret this.
I can hang out with this Evan Roberts.
He's buying into the positivity.
Without having to go get my bottle of whiskey and shove it down his throat.
I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's we're here. This is the and this is very unique for me, too, because I mentioned how the Mets have played all these home playoff games.
Yeah.
I went to all of them. This is the first time I'm watching a Met playoff game on TV since Game 2 of the 2015 World Series.
Well, if they were hosting one at home today, what would you have done?
What would I have done? It's a great question. I think what I would have done is
would have broadcast from out there?
No, I don't think we're allowed to do that.
Why?
I think
Cadillac Club.
You really want me to get into the complications of that? Yeah,
don't get into it.
I'm not going to. Uh-huh. I think what I would have done is...
The other team.
Yeah. I would have been right here doing the show with you right now. Uh-huh. And at about 5:35, as soon as the game started, I would have said, all right, I'm out. And I would have sprinted. And I would have taken the train and saw the last six innings. Or maybe I would have waited till the end of the show. I would have fulfilled my duties as a talk show host. I would have left.
I think we would have.
And I would have missed the last.
We would have made you leave at like 4:30.
You know what's funny? 5:30 is such a tease because it's like it's close enough where, you know, you're not really missing the game.
Right.
If the game was at 3 o'clock, I would just miss it. We would do a watch party again and we'd have a great time.
Because we'd see the whole game, most of it at least, while we're on air. Actually, we'd just stay on air. In fact, yesterday, if the Mets had lost game one.
Yes.
We likely would have stayed on air to the end of game two.
Yeah, that's true. That's a little behind the scenes action. We would have stayed on the air until the Mets were either in the playoffs or officially knocked out. Luckily, they won game one and we didn't have to worry about it. One thing I do want to bring up, and this is not being negative, this is being realistic. I have to bring back a conversation from a week ago. Sean, who's starting for the New York Mets today in game one of the National League Wild Card Series?
Luis Severino.
How did Luis Severino do in the postseason as a Yankee?
He had two good starts, the rest were trash.
And how many starts did he make in the postseason?
Seven.
Yeah, something like that.
Sounds right.
Yeah, something like that. He was a terrible postseason pitcher. And that is a little concerning as we enter this game. Luis Severino in his postseason career did not make seven starts. He made 10 starts.
All right.
He was 1-4.
He was guessing. He didn't know definitively.
He made seven bad starts?
Yeah, I'm just saying he's wrong.
Yeah, how many good starts? Three?
Okay. I can go through them for you, and you can tell me if they're good or not. But he's 1-4 with a 5.15 ERA in his postseason career. He's got demons. And by the way, that last start he made, which I deemed a postseason start against the Atlanta Braves on a Tuesday night, there was a lot of bad luck involved. I'd be the first to admit it. But the final line wasn't exactly great. So Luis Severino's got some postseason demons he's got to solve. Real quick, I'll give you the starts. A third of an inning, three runs against the Twins, gets chased in the first inning. You'd agree that's a bad start?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Seven innings, three runs against Cleveland in the ALDS game four, down 2-1.
Very good start.
Tremendous start. I hand it to him. Game two, ALCS against the Astros. Four innings, one run. So it was fine, but they pulled him very quickly.
That was the Yankees let every starter go four innings routine they were doing.
Okay. So you want to say that's kind of somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
All right. Next start, game six, ALCS, closeout game. 4 2/3 innings, three runs and four walks.
Not good, but not the worst.
Okay. Wild card game against the A's, 2018, four scoreless. Took them out after 87 pitches, four scoreless innings.
God, I forgot how much I hated the Yankees doing this crap with their starters.
Well, in that case, he threw 90 pitches.
Yeah. Right.
His next start, this is the famous start where he didn't know what time it started. Three innings, six runs. The Yankees lost 16-1.
Yeah, it was a fun night. No, not a good start. It sucked.
Game three against Minnesota. Another one of these four-inning jobs. Four scoreless innings, 83 pitches.
Okay, good start.
That's not four innings. It's not gone.
Dude, but that's not a victim of Severino. I know he had a high pitch count. He could have got through five, six innings. The Yankees did this to CeCe. They were doing it to every one of their starters. They had this stupid analytics routine.
I disagree. Game three, ALCS 2019. 4 1/3 innings, two runs, three walks, two home runs given up.
Nah, too much.
Thank you. I got a bullpen appearance. Okay, game three. ALDS against Cleveland, 5 2/3 innings, three runs.
It's not terrible. That's fine.
You know what? Play this game, Tiki, because I don't like Sean's game right now. Would you take this today if you're the New York Mets?
Let me hear it.
Play with it too, Loogie. 5 2/3 innings, three runs.
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yep.
How about you score? All we heard about was the offense all year, Evan.
They're facing Freddy Peralta, and they've got a bullpen.
I'm taking that.
He's got to be better than that. He's got to be better than that.
But that's not what he is.
Better than that. Exactly. You're trying to make him someone he's not.
Well, he had a good year this year.
No, dude.
Severino's numbers are right there with Freddy Peralta, who's an ace.
The Mets lineup has to produce more than three runs.
I agree.
When you have this rotation.
I agree the Mets have to score runs, but I think when you look at their bullpen situation, 5 2/3 innings, three runs is not enough. He only has one postseason start in his career that went in or past the sixth inning.
So what do you want him to be, DeGrom? I mean, he's not. I've told you that forever.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I didn't even realize at first when I said that.
The reason why Sean is laughing, Tiki, is that many years ago, Sean and I would fight over who was better, Jacob DeGrom or Luis Severino.
It was a bad take. Move it along.
Well, you just brought up DeGrom for no reason.
Because my point was that's the go-to Met guy. All I'm saying is, you're right. Severino's numbers haven't been great. By the way, the ERA is a little skewed by the time. They didn't let pitchers pitch through these innings.
I'm going to tell you the number. I'll tell you the number I need from Severino if the Mets are going to win tonight. Because keep this in mind about the Mets. They've got four guys in their bullpen who I don't think are available. Phil Maton is not pitching today. He's pitched in three straight games. Adam Ottavino on the postseason roster, pitched in both games of the doubleheader, not pitching. Oscar Brazoban, both games of the doubleheader, likely not pitching.
Diaz.
And I can't imagine Edwin Diaz is pitching.
Well, what do you have? What do you
40 pitches?
And, over five outs? Is it four outs?
Five outs.
5 outs,
and then the day before, he threw 25 pitches. Edwin Diaz has never had a workload like that on back-to-back days in his entire major league career. In fact, the 40 pitches that Edwin Diaz threw, the most pitches he's ever thrown in a game as a New York Met. And if you fact-check me on that, and you come up with a game against the Cardinals where he threw 45 pitches, I will politely tell you that was a suspended game in which he pitched one day followed by another day.
Well, then there was that game against the Cardinals, Evan.
That's the game I'm talking about!
Okay, sorry.
That's why you don't fact-check me. I'll fact-check your ass right back.
I'm betting the Brewers today. You've convinced me. Yes.
So Edwin Diaz, Oscar Brazoban, Adam Ottavino, Phil Maton, all not available. That means... That means the available arms out of the Met bullpen today, let me check my scorecard, is Danny Young, Reed Garrett, Max Kranick, who has not pitched for the Mets this season, but just got called up because they needed another arm, Ryan Stanek, and Jose Budo. This is the Jose Budo show. It's the Severino Budo show. And I'm praying to the baseball guys that at the end of the night, I'll be saying, I love Big Budo and I cannot lie.
Right. But if it gets out of hand early...
Max Kranick.
Kranick. Seriously, he's the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, and that's why he's here, because they are so ravaged because of the games that they've played. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of available bullpen arms, which means they do need Severino to go deep into the game. So the pitching line I sign for, or I need at the bare minimum, is I need at least six innings out of Luis Severino. If he's throwing less than six innings, I don't know how the Mets win this game. It's going to be very difficult, unless they score just a crap ton of runs, which
could happen.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because they got hot at the end of yesterday's game.
If they bomb Freddy Peralta out of this game.
Not game two, game one.
Yeah, in game two.
I didn't care.
I'm excusing. Right. The Brewers have a lockdown back end of the bullpen, so you certainly don't want to be playing from behind like they did yesterday. But they need innings out of Luis Severino, just because of the shape of this bullpen right now. It's important.
And come October, your starters need to go seven innings. I mean, that's why we have you, is to go seven innings.
Especially
situationally, what they're dealing with tonight, the bullpen being in the spot it's in, I think you go seven, Sevy, Budo, and Stanek.
Well, okay, so there's two different things you just said. Tonight, they need six or seven innings out of Luis Severino. Completely agree with you. I don't think in general, if you have a rested bullpen, that that's necessarily the case. Because remember... the Mets are going to add Tyler McGill to that bullpen. They don't have him in this series because he just wouldn't be available. They are going to have David Peterson later in this series because he's not going to be scheduled to make a start. I think you can be aggressive with your bullpen when it's rested. I just don't think you could do that right now because they don't have a rested bullpen. And you're about to play back-to-back and maybe a third straight game after that. Where you gain an edge is once you get into a divisional series, if you get there, and there are off days. Like, think about the Yankee situation.
Yeah.
Game one is Saturday.
They can set up however they want.
Oh, my God. They could go balls to the wall with their bullpen every night because they had game one Saturday, off day. Game two Monday, off day. Wednesday, Thursday, off day. And then finally, the winner take all, if it got to that point, would be the following Saturday. It's spread out enough where they can be uber aggressive with their bullpen. Right now, at least for this game and maybe tomorrow, the Mets are greatly affected by their bullpen usage over the last few days. And I'm not whining. Look, Major League Baseball already proved they don't know what the hell they're doing, and this game should have been moved to tomorrow. I made that case a few days ago. I'm not going to make it again. It is what it is. The flag is on the field. They're going to play a baseball game, and let's go. But they showed how out of touch they are and how much they don't give a crap about teams and fans by not only telling the Mets and the Braves you have to play the following day after flying to another city, but in the Mets' case, you're going to play during the day. Not only did you play a doubleheader, you're going to play the following day with no off day, and you're going to do it at 4 o'clock local time. It's a joke. And I can get angry about it, but I think we all know Rob Manfred is clueless, and we know that our friends at Major League Baseball, while maybe they have good intentions, not really, are just clueless, and they can defend themselves however they want. The way they handled the Mets-Braves situation was embarrassing. But no excuses. Look, the Mets have to overcome it.
Luckily, it worked out, meaning they both got to the postseason, so it's not that big of a deal.
It is a big deal in terms of who the Braves are starting today and who the Mets have available in their bullpen.
But they at least made it to the postseason.
Yeah, they made it to the postseason, and they made the Mets and the Braves shorthanded. And look, that's okay. Mets got to overcome it today. I can't see any way Diaz pitches, though, after throwing 40 pitches yesterday and 25 the day before.
That is interesting, though, if they're up 1-0. High leverage spot, maybe in the eighth inning, Hoskins is coming to the plate.
Oh, to go face one batter?
Yeah. Like, there's two outs, Hoskins up in a big spot. You say, Edwin, give me 4 or 5 pitches here, get out of it.
Here's why you probably don't do it. As much as you want to win this game, and it's important, you want to take that 1-0 series lead. I think if you pitched him again today, he wouldn't be available for the next 2 games. Like, you don't want this guy's arm to fall off. You act like I'm crazy. Look at his game log and his history and tell me examples. I know it's the playoffs. It's a little bit different. But tell me examples where he's thrown this amount of pitches over such a short period of time and then bounced back so quickly.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying the narrative, if something happens and Diaz is not on the mound, would be why didn't they go to Edwin, which would go back to, and I didn't have an issue with it either. I know you didn't.
That's
Sunday
a lot of pitches
pitching.
For the last 2
nah,
days.
Nah, I
That's
think.
65 pitches.
I'm sorry. I'm just getting word. We have a, we have a baseball playoff update. Let's go to our baseball playoff desk with the fan, Sean Morash. Sean?
The Tigers, who led 3-0 all afternoon, entered the ninth inning versus the mighty Astros. And the Astros have strung together 3 straight hits to start the inning. A run is home, included a terrible, terrible missed strike 3 call where the umpire claimed there was a tip. There wasn't. And we are now 3-1 Tigers as they're holding on for dear life, runners on first and second with no out.
Wow. The never say die Houston Astros rallying in the ninth inning against Detroit. As Sean mentioned, they were losing 3-0 in this game, and now they're rallying with the tying run on base, the winning run at the plate, as they try to come back against Jason Foley and the Detroit Tigers. This would be a meltdown.
We don't care to the ALCS.
You're right. That's fine. Here's what scares me about this. It has nothing to do with the Astros and the Tigers. I can't take a game like this again. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with the Mets teasing us. Little CT for 7 innings. They're up 3-0. Severino's dominant.
You mean you can't stand it for the Mets to do it?
Yeah! Sitting there in the ninth inning, and here's Jose Puno, and he can't get anybody out!
And a little update, there was a sacrifice by Jeremy Pena, so 1 out, both runners in scoring position here for the Astros. Also, the Orioles are now losing as well.
You seem nervous, Sean. Are you okay?
I'm
not scared of the Astros. However, a win like this in game one of the playoffs, let's just call it ominous. Astros came back.
Dude, if they come back and win this game, series is over.
The Astros have also won 10 straight series openers.
Why are you so worried? I'm sorry. I mean, you told me, and you did too, Tiki, that there's nothing to worry about with the Astros. Tiki seems consistent about this. He's like, whatever, who cares? I don't even care about this game. Sean, you seem very worried about a game that doesn't impact you. Like, I'm surprised.
It's not worried. It's just the idea of this would show me Astros of old a little bit. A little bit. I'll give you a little crack.
A little crack?
A little crack. I'm willing to give you a crack.
A little tiny crack?
A tiny crack.
It's a bitch of crack?
Yes.
A little tiny crack?
What my wife calls me.
All right, let's hear from some Met fans. They're about to play game one of the National League Wild Card Series. Zach in Massapequa, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm nervous, but, you know, at the end of the day, positive Tommy. He's led us to this point. I want to give credit to him for staying positive. I called a couple months ago, not a couple months ago, a little while ago, when they lost to the A's 5-0. They were up and they blew it. And Tommy stepped in and he asked me the question, do you think they'll beat the Braves? I'm here to say that I said, no, I don't think we'll beat the Braves. Tommy said that's an absolute loser mentality, which it was, and that we are good enough to beat the Braves. So I got to tip my hat to that. And then also, I want to give a little kudos to Sean. Not enough love than Sean. I know, Evan, you have. But, I mean, what a production you put together with the OMG song. I mean, that was awesome.
Yes, I think Sean did an outstanding job, as did Loogie, leading us to this moment of hope. And if you're just tuning in, Tommy kept saying, don't make plans in October. Earlier in the show, he also guaranteed something. He moved it a little bit further and said the New York Mets are going to defeat the New York Yankees in the World Series this year.
Not only that, they will do it in Yankee Stadium. Because that's really how you finish the story that started 24 years ago. When they did it to us, now we return the favor. And it would count, Sean.
You know why it counts, Sean, and I'm going to give you an example from a million years ago, but history matters. Just because you didn't experience it, or maybe your parents didn't experience it, history matters. For many years, sit on my knee. I want to tell everybody a story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
For many years, the New York Yankees would beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in the World Series every year.
You don't like the story, Tiki.
I don't know this story.
Oh, you know, okay. I don't know if he was lack of interest or, okay, I'm intrigued. Every year, you name the year, like name any year in the 40s and 50s, and the odds are very high, the New York Yankees would beat the Brooklyn Dodgers in the World Series. And then came along 1955. And in 1955, Johnny Podras and the Brooklyn Dodgers won at Yankee Bleeping Stadium to finally beat the New York Yankees. And if you asked any Brooklyn Dodger fan that is still alive, or any Brooklyn Dodger fan then or now or wherever, they will tell you, game, set, and match. Stop the count. We beat the New York Yankees. You could tell me about the 500 other times you beat us, but 1955 reigned supreme. And then the following year, the Yankees and Dodgers played again, and the Yankees beat them.
Right. Good for 55.
Right.
And that was it. That was the last time they played in the Brooklyn, New York angle of that World
Not
Series.
A bad story.
You like that story?
You can do anything one time.
All it takes is one time.
That's
99
true.
Times out of 100. Name the movie.
But listen, no one should be worried about
Little Giants?
Yeah, Teak.
It's a great movie, man. Rick Moranis, one of the all-time great actors.
He was. Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah. He's one of the best.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kid.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, Ghostbusters and Honey, I Shrunk the Kid. He's got it. I'll tell you, man.
Got a resume.
Where's he at now? Does he even still act?
I have no idea. He's got to be 70-something.
I'm very tense as the Mets start this postseason game, so can I tell you a funny story from today?
Go ahead.
So I went to Chipotle because I need to put myself in a good mood, and I love myself some Chipotle.
And you were in a very good mood until about 3 seconds ago.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
I can feel it.
So I go to Chipotle, and Chipotle opens at 10:45, okay? 10:45 it opens up. So I go to Chipotle at 10:42.
Not a bad late breakfast.
Not bad.
Oh, you're that guy.
So I'm there at 10:42, and the doors are locked. So sometimes I wait in my car for the doors to unlock, and I see it. And other times I'm like, ah, it's a nice day. I'll go out there. So I go out there. I try to open the door. It's jammed, right? It's not open. Okay, no big deal. I'm here on my phone. I'll hang out. I'll text you guys. I'm going to wait for the doors to open. Give me the meat. I want the meat. About 30 seconds later, this woman and this man come up to said door. They see me standing there.
From the inside?
No, from the outside.
Oh, wow.
They were like me. They wanted to go into Chipotle.
Got it. Okay.
They see me standing there outside waiting. And I thought this. I was like, are they going to try to open the door? And she goes right up like I don't exist and tries to open the door.
That's because she thought you were probably on your phone.
But at that point, I'm looking at the door. I'm right in front of the door. And this was an incredible social experiment to me. Like, what are you doing? Do you not trust that I'm standing outside of this door waiting for it to open? And then when she tries to open it and it's locked, she's like shocked. Like, oh, I didn't see that coming. Mm.
There's a lot of weirdos that loiter outside stores, right. And honestly, you check the box.
Really?
And then did she get in line behind you and wait?
No, this is what I found fascinating. I heard her say to the guy, what time is it open? And he looks and says, 10:45. Granted, it's 10:44. And they're like, yeah, let's go somewhere else.
Wow.
And they left.
Yeah, by the time you get to somewhere else and get your food, you would have been in and out of Chipotle.
Makes no sense to me.
And when did they open?
30 seconds later. Like, literally, they're very good at, hey, it's 10:45, we're going to open up. So I stood there for like another 45 seconds, and then I was ready to go. And I left, and I had my Chipotle, and everybody was happy. But those two things bothered me. A, their decision to leave.
Yeah.
But before that, their decision to not trust.
If there was someone else queued with you, I bet they would have just gotten in line behind the both of you and waited.
So they were freaked out by me.
They're freaked out by, most people are, by an individual. But when it becomes a crowd, you just join the crowd.
So if there was a crowd, they would have trusted,
you just
hey,
join the crowd.
The doors may not be open.
Join the crowd.
By the way, you were very rude to the employees.
I was very rude to what employees?
I can tell you as a former food service worker, you don't hang around a door begging them to basically open. Give them time to cook the food.
What am I supposed to do? Leave?
Well, it's 10:45. It's still breakfast time. Calm down.
They say they open at 10:45. I want to be first online.
10:45 means 11.
You know what used to piss me off, man? Oh, and you're a Subway guy, so this works out very well.
Yeah.
When I used to work at XM Satellite down in Washington, D.C., it was before they were a full company, I would drive home from my job. My show would end at 10 o'clock, and Subway would stay open until 11. And I'd race home to White Oak, Maryland, to go get myself some Subway. I'm telling you, I got there at 10:40, 10:45 many times. They would close it down, and I got so pissed off. You say it closes at 11.
Right.
Why are you closing down at 10:45?
Because of them, it feels like nobody else is coming.
Ridiculous.